Good morning, downloaders, podcasters, catch-uppers.
All of the above.
Whatever you are, we are happy to have you here. So happy we are. That's not what Gabby was yesterday afternoon when her dirty little McDonald's French fry secret
was
ruined by your pooch bear, who we love. We love Bear so much.
And it's not his fault. It's my fault. I was sneaking a few Macca's fries because I've been very healthy. My fiancé's been helping me stay on track with my healthy eating. Yeah. So obviously I ate it without his knowledge, so he couldn't get mad at me. But then I fed a fry to my dog and he vomited it back up a few hours later.
Yeah.
And my fiancé was like, ah, that looks like a fry to me.
He vomited up the evidence.
He did.
Right, and you stupidly owned it. I would have gone something like, oh, those dogs. They'll find anything when they're really hungry.
But yeah, I took him for a walk, I swear.
Yeah, to the Macca's around the corner. Hey, thank you for downloading. Enjoy the catch-up. The Hit
Breakfast Show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch-up.
Casting call has gone out to all dancers in Queensland, Cliffo, to participate in the AFL Grand Final. It's a volunteer casting call. So all dancers 15 years or above with good dancing skills are being asked if they want to participate. What is being called a great opportunity. But a woman by the name of Erin has written an open letter to the project in regards to this with the hashtag #PayTheDancers. And we actually have her joining us right now. Erin Kennedy, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Talk us through this a little bit. So you think that this is undermining the industry in your words?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And there's been a lot of industry support over the last few days coming out to say exactly the same thing. So the AFL has the opportunity to give paid work to, you know, to a group of performers at one of the largest and really the only major corporate gig that's going ahead this year. And instead of doing that, they've chosen to really pull the rug out from the industry even further by asking both professionals and young student performers of working age to contribute their time and their skills for free.
Erin, this for me is where it gets a little bit murky, and only because I have personal experience in this area. I did so much voluntary radio when I was at this age. I started at about 15. And I didn't get paid. My first full-time like paid gig was in my early 20s. So I volunteered for the better part of about 6 years, both community-level radio and commercial-level radio. And when I was that age, I just saw it as an opportunity, and I saw the light at the end of the tunnel. And I forged what I think is a really successful career out of doing that, out of working for free. And to me, I wouldn't change any of that. Does that come into this at all, or are we talking about a totally different thing?
Look, yeah, I do think it does come into it. And I do think that there is totally space for young training performers to be doing these kinds of events. I don't think that they shouldn't be. I think it's awesome, you know, but I just think that when you're asking, you know, so many young artists and young people who, you know, can so easily be taken advantage of, to perform at the biggest corporate event of the year. And I just think they deserve to be paid for it. I think absolutely give them the experience.
Erin, I think there's so much opportunity out there for young kids who are willing to put their hand up and prove themselves. And I just don't want to live in a world where, you know, you have to get paid for every single thing you do. Like, if you want to put your hand up and further yourself and further your skill set and further your life experience, that's something that I think is really important and something that's sort of lacking.
Do you sort of see that, you know, the performing arts is constantly asked to perform for free? You know, I mean, I think if you engage with local dancers and if you engage with anyone who's a professional dancer, and I certainly have had a lot of, you know, people coming to me with stories over the last couple of days, as well as being a teacher of young performers and also a working professional. So I am right in the middle of this. And people get asked to perform for free all the time.
It's not difficult to
find free gigs. It's hard to find paid ones.
I hear what you're saying. It is like being in the performance industry, we are asked to do free stuff all the time, literally all the time. And we get it when you get to that point where you are a professional in your industry, you should be paid. And it is sucky that when budgets such as the AFL Grand Final go towards other areas rather than the performance, it does suck a little bit because, you know, that would have been an opportunity that they're not spending money on, and they're not spending money for a reason. But yeah, I also, as a 15-year-old dancer, I would have been frothing on that opportunity. I would have been front row and center.
100%. And, you know, like, I'm not saying that it's not going to be a fun time for them. But anyone who says you can put a volunteer dance position on your CV and get ahead is absolutely clueless.
Hey, we're running out of time. Look, thank you so much for being so passionate. Look, Gabby's right. As two people who work in the industry, as professionals, you know, we do expect to get paid for what we do these days. I'd never change what I did for free. But yeah, I think it's so great that you're just so passionate about supporting the industry you love so much. So thank you so much for chatting us through it all this morning, Erin. Really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
131060. Give us a call with your Op Shop goals.
It is National Op Shop Week starting tomorrow, and we love an Op Shop bargain. It's like the thrill of the chase, isn't it? Like when you find something and you're like, I'm practically saving money. It's so good.
What do we call it before? Like bargain. The thrill of the bargain.
Yeah.
The endorphins. I reckon there'd be a science to this, Gabby.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I reckon that serotonin, that happiness chemical, is released into your brain.
When you realise it's a bargain.
When you score a bargain.
And you're like, oh.
Ain't no better bargain
like
hunting place than an op shop.
It's 70% off. It's the best.
Your theory is always like, I'm saving money.
I'm saving money. If it's that good a bargain, I'm literally saving money.
So it starts tomorrow, National Op Shop Week. We want your Op Shop gold to celebrate. Daryl in Stanthorpe. Good morning, mate.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Daryl, what have you scored?
A pair of Wranglers for $3.
$3?
We're talking jeans, yeah?
Yeah.
Gold.
They're normally pretty expensive. They're like upwards of $100, aren't they?
$120 to $150.
What kind of condition were they in, Daz?
Immaculate.
Oh,
immaculate.
What a win.
Love it. Love it. Rita is here. Good morning, Rita.
Hi, good morning. I'm just ringing to tell you about my beaut find. So
what
I
was
picked
it?
Up a pair of... I picked up a pair of Dolce & Gabbana heels. Oh. They retail at $1,400, and I did get them for $100, but still a score.
$100 down from over a grand. That is a definite score. Well done. What do they look like?
They're silver pewter with sort of glass heels. They're awesome.
And
I love them.
And what size are you?
And what do you want for them? Danny in Harvey Bay. Morning, Danny.
Morning, how are you guys?
Good. What have you scored at Op Shop?
I found a Kim Kardashian collection handbag and the purse that goes with it.
Wow.
Matching.
And I scored that for $20.
$20.
Not bad.
Again, how much would that usually retail for if you were to get it new?
Probably like $300, $400.
Yeah,
the Kardashians don't go cheap, do they?
No,
and
don't do nothing for free.
No.
They know how to make money, those girls. It's Husey Tuesday with Cliffo and Gabby on Hit.
Love a Husey Tuesday. I got it right this week, and he joins us right now. Husey, how are you?
You're really good, and I appreciate me voicing my own intro, you know. It's a wonderful, wonderful job that I have, wonderful service I'm providing for myself. So generally when I do stand-up comedy, I introduce myself on stage, you know, get the audience really to cheer this legend who's about to walk on. So, and there I am.
Can't trust anyone else to do it.
Self-praise. Self-praise is all the recommendation you need.
How stoked are you that the kids are going back to school?
It is so cool here in Victoria. All my children get to go to school in a few weeks. They have been literally at home every single day for, I reckon, 6 months now. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's great to have such close contact with them, but, you know, you can have too much of a good thing.
It's also good to give them away for a bit.
It really is. Just be someone else's problem for 6 hours, you know. We'll see you at the end of the day. Just learn. I mean, Daddy can't teach you anymore. So, you know, that is fun.
How is the state of the house after having the kids at home for such long periods of time? Like,
it's
have
the
you lost
dishwasher.
Your window? Or?
The dishwasher's the thing. It's right. Just, it's on constant rotation. It's like, you cannot believe that it can be packed at so many times in one day. We're doing 3 loads of dishes every single day. And, you know, the dishwasher's not doing a great job, but it's not getting any I'm not having a go at it. I'm just going, you tried your best. Yes, there's still quite a bit of food stuck to this plate, but guess what? it's going to be okay. You know, I can't fault your efforts, basically, dishwasher.
Hughie, we were talking just about an hour ago about your best score at an op shop because it is op shop week this week. Do you shop at op shops?
I'm not big on op shops. We give a lot of stuff away to op shops. So, I mean, working in radio over such a long time, there's so much crap that has entered my house. You know what it's like when radio promotions end up and you just drive them home and you've got no idea why, but then there they are. So that all goes to op shops and a lot of it with my name on it. You know, we once did a competition where we got other Dave Hughes's to ring the radio station. And so I ended up with, I bought 100 t-shirts. So the radio station did saying, "I'm the real Dave Hughes." And so I think we ended up with 50. So I ended up with 50 "I'm the real Dave Hughes" t-shirts at home. So I gave them to an op shop. So
fantastic. So if op shops are getting, you know, promotional Coke material or Red Bull fridges,
it's probably from Hughesy.
We know they've come from Hughesy's place.
Someone actually, it's a true story, got me on Instagram the other day and sent me a photo of a portrait of me, and like a proper portrait of me that they bought at an op shop for 50 cents.
No.
50 cents. Oh. It was like a, you know, Archibald size portrait of Dave Hughes.
That's offensive that it was 50 cents.
You didn't pose for it or anything. Someone's done that off
the
picture.
No, I have posed for a number of them before, though. And what I don't like about posing for things like the Archibald, and this is a first world problem I understand, like I sound like a wanker right now, is that, you know, some good artists can do a portrait of me, but then I end up having to buy it because no one else does. So, and I don't want to see it at the op shop. So, you know, I've got 4 portraits of myself in the storeroom.
Just hang them in the guest bedroom because I'm sure all your guests would just love that.
Mate, there is one in the guest bedroom right now. To be honest, I'm looking at it. It's actually an Arndt.
Was that for his TV show?
No, before the TV show, I was like a guinea pig and, you know, I want to be on the TV show, but he says he's already done me. I'm like, I'll burn this one, mate. Do it again, you know. And
see, Arndt's interesting too because he doesn't use paint brushes. He uses, like, what have you got? Like little trowels and his fingers and stuff.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see the process at the time. But, yeah, it is in the guest room, though, and we have a pull-out bed here. So, and my brother stays occasionally and he just says he has trouble sleeping because...
Feels like he's being watched.
Yeah, that's weird. He doesn't like it, so yeah.
Oh, you need to get googly eyes.
Stick them
follows on him around.
Follow
him around at night. Hughesy and Ed, they are back to Savo for your drive home. I'll catch them from 5 o'clock here on Hit. Love it. Thanks for joining us for another Hughesy Tuesday. Hughesy?
Cheers, legends.
Who's still using checks? That's what we want to know, because I have a check issue, which I never thought I'd have in 2020. 4 months ago, got a check from my grandma-in-law. Finally figured out how to try to bank it. And there's an issue with it. She's spelt my last name wrong on the check, so I can't do anything. I've just got this check in my wallet.
There legitimately would be young people, like on the way to... Oh, no, it's school holidays at the moment.
On the way to the shops, maybe.
I should know that. I have a six-year-old who goes to school.
You should
There'd be young people, like on the way to the shops or whatever right now, not knowing what you're talking about.
Mom, what's a check?
What is a check?
A check is... A
bit of paper.
A piece of, a letter saying, this is how much my bank will transfer to yours. Pretty much.
There was a lot of trust back in the day.
Yeah.
Wasn't there?
How easy is
trust a piece of paper
to forge in comparison to, like, money or bank cards?
Let's go to Karen in Mackay. Karen, good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How about yourself?
Good, Karen. Do you know someone who's still using a check?
Yes, I do. My husband and I own a post office, and we have lots of people coming in to pay their bills of check.
Really?
Are they usually older?
They can be. So there are a lot of them older, but there's a lot of people who are business owners, and they'll pay, like if they've got quite a few properties, they'll pay their rate bill, and they'll do all of them on separate checks, or they'll do car rojos if they've got like a trucking company or something.
But I don't get why. Like, I get there's a record then because it's a check, but there's also a record if you pay on the credit card in like a BPAY. So what's the benefit?
It might come down to, if you look at it, it's longer for a check to be processed, so it's longer that the money sits in your bank before it actually comes out to be transferred to somebody else's.
Oh, sneaky.
Cooking the books.
Getting the interest.
Cooking the books. Nicole in Townsville. Morning, Nickers. Can I call you that?
No.
Yeah? Oh, maybe not.
Being very familiar this morning.
We're going to go with Nicole. Who still uses a check?
It's actually my grandmother-in-law as well, like you, Gabby.
Oh.
So we're a family unit of five, and every time we have our birthdays, we get a check in the mail.
Yes.
I haven't had an error with having a wrong name on it, but I did figure out not long ago that you can actually do a self-serve check deposit in a machine.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, I have seen that at ATMs before.
Yeah,
and I'm
so you don't have...
I'm so glad
yeah,
you didn't...
Yeah, if you're being antisocial and you don't want to speak to the bank teller,
all the time.
You just go straight to the machine and it somehow validates your check by scanning it.
Nicole, what I was going to say was I'm so glad you went down that path, because when you said, I figured out, all I heard in my head is you can put an extra zero at the end and boom!
It's all good.
It's all good! We all know technology is listening to us.
All the time.
I don't think that's even a conspiracy theory. Like, it started off as a conspiracy, but now we are all well aware that our phones are listening to everything we do.
To the point where we were talking about eBay on the show last week, and producer Carly and I received a text that afternoon from eBay, and neither of us even have an eBay account.
True story.
Wow. So, my example of it, guys, is, you know, I mentioned yesterday I went to Movie World on the weekends.
Yeah.
At Movie World now, there's a thing called Top Golf, which is like a golf driving range.
Oh.
I have no interest in golf.
No.
I have no interest in going to a driving range.
No.
I got an ad on Facebook for Top Golf.
Because
Gold
you
Coast.
Said Movie World.
Because maybe it was GPS.
Oh.
I don't know.
Either way, they're watching, they're listening, they know, it's like Santa Claus. They know exactly where you are.
Yeah, they
are
see
and
you
you're
when you're sleeping. They know when you're awake. They know if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. But how's this? A dude was cleaning his gutter. An Aussie dude the other day was cleaning his gutter with a pressure washer.
Mm.
He was up a ladder and the force of the pressure washer pushed him off the ladder. Older gentleman, he has something like, I think it's 7 or 8 grandkids or something. So it pushed him off the ladder and over his neighbor's 2 meter high fence.
That's a big fall.
He landed head first. So it was absolutely, you know, horrific. Luckily his neighbors saw it. So they went out and administered first aid and dialed 000 immediately. But how's this? As they were working on him, trying to stem the bleeding, a voice came out of his Apple iWatch.
Apple Watch.
Is that what they're called?
Mm.
I don't have one. My wife does. But a voice came out of his Apple Watch saying, "Hello, can anyone hear me? Your Apple Watch has detected a fall and called 000. Do you require an ambulance?"
Wow.
So something's happened where he's obviously got Apple Health or whatever it's called enabled on his watch.
Yeah, and it can like sense your heartbeat and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah.
So it's detected him falling at a rapid rate and maybe his heartbeat would have changed because of it.
It's probably detected him falling. It's felt a thump or something like that. I mean, I don't know how the technology works. And then it's actually dialed.
Yeah.
000.
It could have saved his life.
Could have.
What worries me about this, though, is I have an Apple Watch. And when I do burpees at the gym, it's very similar to a fall.
Yeah.
I'm going to have an ambulance rock up to the gym.
I can sense you're struggling right now. Do you need an ambulance? Are you having a heart attack or are you having burpees?
It's that time of year, Cliffo, where exams are really getting hot and heavy, whether it's high school, university, whatever you're studying. Exams suck.
Big love to everyone who's going into that.
That's a stressful time. Really stressful time. And some people come up with superstitions to kind of help them through these stressful times, because if you've got good luck on your side, it's going to make it easier to get through what is a stressful period of time, yeah?
If you're thinking that way.
Yeah,
like if you're thinking positively, like, I've got good luck on my side.
Yeah.
It's going to help
I'm wearing my lucky socks.
Yeah, totally.
We're good to go.
Mindset is 100%, mate.
That's it. Well, a warning for anyone who is heading towards exams, because there is actually a superstition at the University of Queensland when it comes to jacaranda trees. So we know
the beautiful trees.
Purple trees, they flower about this time of year. They're gorgeous. But the suspicion goes, that if
I don't know, I'm suspicious of it. So
if a jacaranda blossom falls on you, you will fail your exam.
Oh.
So if you walk under one of the trees and you have one of the flowers fall on you, you may as well just pack up and go home because you're going to fail. And I've done my research. It's pretty bleak, isn't it?
Big call.
I've done my research. And there's a couple of really common superstitions in the lead up to university exams that I found as well. These were kind of repeating through people's submissions. So here's some superstitions if you want to get luck back on your side if a blossom has fallen on you.
Yep.
Write the test back to front. So when you go into your exam, start on the back page and work your way to the front.
Oh.
It's meant to be better luck, supposedly. Or The second one, if an exam does go bad for you, just never, ever wear those clothes again, all the way down to the underwear. Throw them out. They're right, all okay. Bad luck now. You throw out the bad luck with them and you're good to go
the
for the next
one. The clothes are tainted.
Yes.
All right.
Well, finally, this is a good one. Chew gum while you're studying.
Okay.
And then chew that exact same piece of gum for the exam because it's like a muscle memory thing and a taste thing. So you actually retain the information. It's like when you taste that gum again, the information comes back to you and you can do the test. I don't know how I feel about, like, where do you store that piece of gum though?
Well, under the desk. Clearly. Oops, you ever looked under a school desk before?
Yeah, I'll take that one.
Cliffo and Gabby's dating tips from the 50s.
Back in 1958, a women's magazine published a list of the tips and tricks you could use to snare a husband.
How are we going here? Are you running?
We're starting
low,
to. What? No, we've still got a few left. We've still
pretty
got a few
meaty article, was it?
Well, there's 129. Tips.
Jesus!
So we're doing about five a week.
They didn't make it easy for women in the 50s, did they?
Too many options, too many tips and tricks there. Like, you need to narrow it down. But here, I'm going to narrow it down to five for you today. So, if you are looking for a potential husband, ask your friends' husbands who the eligible men are in their offices. And never take a job in a company largely run by women.
Well, lucky they don't exist. Lucky it's the
50s. Especially back in the 50s.
And there ain't many women in management positions. That's definitely translated to 2020.
If you want to get his attention once you've spotted a good one, walk up to him and tell him you need him for some advice. It's the age-old trick of getting him to teach you how to do something.
Be helpless.
Yeah. Yes. Damsel in distress. Yeah. Now it's all about looking good for him, so go get yourself a sunburn.
Get yourself a sunburn?
That's what it says.
So the cancer council wasn't a thing.
And obviously not.
In the 50s. Oh, my God.
And then if you want to land the guy, here's the tip for the first date. Don't tell him you're thinking about getting married. Don't mention marriage. Don't mention locking anything down. Even if you're desperate to do so, don't let him in on it.
That is still relevant.
That is still relevant. If you're on a first date, let's get married.
You'd be like, go out there and get a sunburn. Leave me alone. The Hit Breakfast Show.